जय राधा मदाभा कुंजा बिहारी जय राधा मदाभा कुंजा बिहारी जय गोपी जन बलाभा गिरिभर धारी जय गोपी जन बलाभा गिरिभर धारी यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा बन छारी जमुना तीरा बन छारी जय राधा मदाभा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा मदाभा कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे रामा हरे Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribraja Kacharya Ashtotara Shata Shishimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribraja Kacharya Ashtotara Shata Shishimad His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki. Grantarashimam Bhagavatam Ki. Nitai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shishi Guru and Shiguranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Brilliant from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, entitled The Summon Bonon, Chapter 13, The Stealing of the Boys and the Calf from Brahma, text number 62. Dristva Tvarena Nijadora Natobatidya. Prithvyam Bapuka Nakadandani Babipatya. Spritva Chaturum Kutakoti Ber Angri Jukman. Natva Mut Ashu Shulalair Akrita Bishekam. Dristva Tvarena Nijadora Natobatidya. Prithvyam Bapuka Nakadandam Ibabipatya. Spritva Chatur Mukutakoti Bir Angri Jukman. Natva Mudashu Shula Sujalair Akrita Bishekam. Please chant. Thank you. Dristva, after seeing, Twarena, with great speed, hastily, Nijadoranataha, from his swan carrier, Avatirya, descended, Pritvan, on the ground, Mbapuhu, his body, Kanakadandamiva, like a golden rod, Abhipatya, fell down, Spritva, touching, Chaturmukuta Koti Bhi, with the tips of his four crowns, Angriyukman, the two lotus feet, Natwa, making obeisances, Mut Ashu Sujalai, with the water of his tears of joy, Akrita, perform Abhishekam, the ceremony of bathing his lotus feet. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. After seeing this, Lord Brahma hastily got down from his swan carrier, fell down like a golden rod, and touched the lotus feet of the Lord with the tips of the four crowns on his heads. Offering his obeisances, he bathed the feet of Krishna with the water of his tears of joy. Purport. Lord Brahma bowed down like a stick, and because Lord Brahma's complexion is golden, he appeared to be like a golden stick lying down before Lord Krishna. When one falls down before a superior just like a stick, one's offering of obeisances is called Dandavat. Danda means stick and vat means like. It is not that one should simply say Dandavat. Rather, one must fall down. Thus Brahma fell down, touching his foreheads to the lotus feet of Krishna, and his crying in ecstasy is to be regarded as an Abhishek bathing ceremony of Krishna's lotus feet. He who appeared before Brahma as a human child was in fact the absolute truth, Param Brahman. Prameti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Shabdyate. The Supreme Lord is Narakriti, that is, he resembles a human being. It is not that he is four-armed Chaturbahu, Narayan is Chaturbahu, but the Supreme Person resembles a human being. This is also confirmed in the Bible, where it is said that man was made in the image of God. Lord Brahma saw that Krishna in his form as a cowherd boy was Param Brahman, the root cause of everything, but was now appearing as a human child, loitering in Vrindavan with a morsel of food in his hand. Astonished, Lord Brahma hastily got down from his swan carrier and let his body fall to the earth. Usually the demigods never touch the ground, but Lord Brahma, voluntarily giving up his prestige as a demigod, bowed down on the ground before Krishna. Although Brahma has one head in each direction, he voluntarily brought all his heads to the ground and touched Krishna's feet with the tips of his four helmets. Although his intelligence works in every direction, he surrendered everything before the boy Krishna. It is mentioned that Brahma washed the feet of Krishna with tears, with his tears, and here the word Sulajayi indicates that his tears were purified. As soon as Bhakti is present, everything is purified, Sarabhu Padi Bini Muktan. Therefore, Brahma's crying was a form of Bhakti Anubhava, a transformation of transcendental ecstatic love. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shrimate Rupaya Swami. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gaurabani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Bhashatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpa Tarubhyasha Kripa Sindhubhyaiva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. We pray, Lord Chaitanya chose to pray for this moment in which tears of ecstasy upon having this very intimate personal contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the case of Lord Chaitanya's prayers in the Shikshastaka, is being able to enter into that contact with Srinam, the form of the Lord, as the holy name, Krishna. Nayanan galarashuddharaya bananan gadgadarudaya gira Pulaka irnichitam babu kada tamanama grahane bhavishyati. O my Lord, when will my eyes be filled with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy names? When will my voice choke up and when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your names? So these tears of love are explains, Srila Prabhupada explains from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that these are Bhakti Anubhavas or transformation of transcendental ecstatic love. So there is a whole list of different Anubhavas that happens. In the prayers of Lord Chaitanya, some of them are described that this gadgada, your voice choke up, you can't speak. Always remembering Lord Chaitanya trying to say Jagannath, and he will go jagagaga, 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 like that. You can't speak. Your voice gets choked, and your hair stand on end, and there's rolling in the floor, there's dancing, there's laughing, there's yawning, there's a whole list of transformation. And then there's it goes deeper into the science, and you know, when water clashes with this, and then you know it gets transformed into this and that and that. So but these are symptoms of ecstatic love. So Lord Brahma was experiencing this when he fully understanding Krishna's position and his position and the special mercy that he was receiving to being sort of fully realizing and in the presence of Krishna. And when he offered his prostrated obeisances, dandavats, and touch Krishna's lotus feet, then this natural symptom of ecstatic love came. And it is explained that these tears, because of that pure love, were totally purified to the point that they were used they were used as Abhishek, bathing. So it's a bathing ceremony with his tears. What a beautiful thing. In general, tears are not necessarily something that you consider, you know, pure. There is different, it's transformed into blood and then lymphatic liquids and all other, you know, tears, urine, and etc., toxins, things get all break down and then get distributed to the body. So within the blood is the prana that nourishes, but the rest is more or less not necessarily sweat. It's where things get discard, yes, or you know, waste goes to that, that dispose. So but in this case, the devotee, when this the tears becomes, you know, an expression of this very this very strong internal emotions. So sometimes we experience that when there's this strong emotions, that's what Srila Bhakti, Srila Rupa Goswami explains, that apparently these emotions happens when there is this crush of different parts of different elements of the body, and then there's this explosion of this emotion. So fear is a clash of something and something, and joy is a clash of something, and then poof, then you have these symptoms. So the tears of joy Lord Brahma is experiencing. And I thought to narrate the descriptions that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave in the Sri Navadvip Dham Mahamya, in which he gave us entrance to Lord Brahma's heart at that precise moment. And but I thought Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is such a wonderful acharya, and his words are so beautiful that I'm just gonna read. And so we read this part from the Sri Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, which is this very beautiful book of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in which he describes the glories of Sri Navadvip Dham, so which each one of the islands, and the background is when Srila Jiva Goswami went to Navadvip and finally arrived there, and then he is taken into a tour of Navadvip by Lord Nityananda. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur described the whole pastime. This happens, how Lord Brahma, after seeing the killing of Agasura, he go on and test Krishna. So challenging in one sense Krishna. So anyway, at this point, when Lord Brahma fully realized Krishna displays his potencies, and Lord Brahma realized, so I start from that. Brahma, realizing his limited power, could understand that he was just a puppet dancing according to the directions of the Supreme. After seeing the wonderful potency of Lord Krishna, Lord Brahma hastily got down from his swan carrier, and falling down like a golden rod, he touched the lotus feet of Lord Krishna with the tips of the four crowns on his head. Offering obeisances, he bathed the lotus feet of Krishna with his tears of joy. Rising and falling again and again at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, Lord Brahma remembered over and over the Lord's greatness, which he had just witnessed. Then, rising very gradually and wiping his eyes, Lord Brahma looked at Mukunda, the giver of liberation. Lord Brahma, his head bent low, his mind concentrated, and his body trembling, very humbly and with faltering voice, began to offer praises to Lord Krishna. Quote, "My dear Lord," he said, "I am just like a little child in the womb of his mother. If the child within the womb plays with his hands and legs, and while playing touches the body of his mother, is the mother offended with the child? Similarly, although others may consider me to be a great personality, not only myself, but everything that be is existing within the womb of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Your energy is all-pervading. There is no place in the creation where it is not acting. Even the Brahmas of the many other universes are within your energy, and therefore you are considered to be their mother. As the super soul within everyone's heart, you know everything. Please, therefore, accept me as your surrendered servant. I pray that you will excuse me for disturbing you and your pastimes with your friends and calf. Now, if you will, kindly allow me, I will immediately leave so you can enjoy your pastimes with them." In this way, Brahma, the master of the universe, having offered his humble and respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and circumambulating him three times, was ready to return to his abode known as Brahma Loka. With a gesture, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gave him permission to leave. As he was returning to his abode on the back of his swan carrier, Brahma began to feel greatly morose, even though the Lord has forgiven him. Quote, "What a fool I am," he thought, "to think that I am the creator of the universe. I could not appreciate the Lord's blissful Vrindavan pastimes, and I have therefore been deprived of the treasure of love of Krishna. I could have descended with him and take my birth as a cowherd boy and engage in his service. But due to my own foolishness, I have deprived myself of those nectarian pastimes. When the Lord appears as Sri Gauranga in Kali Yuga, I should not fall prey of the dictations of my wicked mind. I should perform austerities in the holy land of Sri Navadvip, where Lord Gauranga is to take his birth, and I should beg for his mercy. In a secluded place on the island of Antardvip, Brahma Tuli sat down and began to meditate, performing severe austerities. For a long time he stayed there in meditation. He would take neither food nor water, and often he would go without sleeping. One day, Lord Gauranga, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared before him in a splendid form which surpasses the beauty of gold. His arm were long, reaching to his knees, and he stood there as brilliant as the sun. "My dear Brahma," said the Lord, "I am very satisfied by the severe austerities that you have performed, and I have come here to fulfill your desires." Opening his eyes, Lord Brahma saw before him the effulgent form of the Lord, and due to his great ecstasy, he fell unconscious on the ground. Lord Gauranga then place his lotus foot, which is the goal of all yogis and devotees, upon his head and revive him. Lord Brahma then began to offer all kinds of prayers to the Lord. Oh my Lord, he said, all the demigods, including Shiva, Indra, and I, are your eternal servants. However, we are not as fortunate as your eternal associate, for we sometimes cover by the influence of your illusory material energy. Although I pass the first 100 trillion years of my life in this way, I have now, by your unlimited compassion, been brought to my senses, and I am to spend the remaining portion of my life in the same way. I beg you, my Lord, to please allow me to take birth as one of your associates when you perform your earthly pastimes. I wish to give up this foolish illusion that I am the creator and take birth as one of your companions, singing your transcendental glories. Lord Gauranga was very satisfied to hear Lord Brahma's prayers, which he had offered in great humility. He told Brahma, when I manifest my Sankirtan pastimes in this world, you will take birth as Haridas Thakur. In the house of a Javana, you will be famed for your great humility. Completely free from false pride, you will chant the Mahamantra 300,000 times a day. Finally, when you pass from this world, you will do so in my presence, beholding my transcendental form and repeating my name. Hear from me these most secret Antara teachings. Taking the position of a devotee, I will taste the nectar of Bhakti Ras, the mellow of loving devotional service to Krishna, and I will inaugurate the most rare and glorious Sankirtan movement. I will reveal to all my devotees, including those of my previous incarnations, the nectarian mellows of Vrindavan. The love which Srimati Radharani possesses for me, Krishna, is beyond even my comprehension. I will therefore appear with her sentiments and complexion, and taking her position, I will taste that happiness which she alone obtains by serving me. From this day, act as my disciple, and in the form of Haridas Thakur, serve me eternally. After instructing Lord Brahma, Lord Gauranga disappeared, and Lord Brahma fell down in the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord unconscious. Returning to consciousness, he cried in separation, O Gauranga, O friend of the poor, when will I attain the shelter of your lotus feet? For many days he remained there, merged in ecstasy, and then he mounted his swan carrier and ascended to his own abode in the heavenly planets to attend to his duties. Because Lord Brahma received Lord Gauranga's darshan and heard his most confidential antara instruction in this place, it became known as Antardwip. Sri Navadvip Dham Ki Jai. Pretty amazing, no? So we hear what we hear from Srila Prabhupada, the gift that Lord Chaitanya brings to all. Well, first, yeah, Lord Chaitanya brings this gift of entrance to Vrindavan, this Vrindavan bhakti or Braja bhakti. So he gives this Braja bhakti freely to all. And something very difficult to understand and to fully appreciate. But we see how the greatest jiva in this material world, Lord Brahma, the type of appreciation that they have for this gift that Lord Chaitanya is bringing. Without Lord Chaitanya, we can only be witness of this most amazing, intimate type of position that is that of the associates of Krishna in Vrindavan. But with Lord Chaitanya's mercy, then everyone can have the capacity to enter into those beautiful pastimes and actually fully experience being part of this intimate association with Krishna. So that gift is also available to anyone, each one of us. Lord Chaitanya comes, this internal reason that he comes to taste that himself and then to distribute it, is the whole is the whole heart and the essence of the Sankirtan mission. So here Lord Brahma is fully appreciating and fully and with great ecstasy receiving that great gift. He became Srila Haridas Thakur and remained a very intimate associate of the Lord from the very beginning of the calling of Lord Chaitanya into this world, all the way until he left his body in the glorious manner which is narrated in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He left his body with the Lord's feet, grasping the Lord's lotus feet and looking at his beautiful face and chanting his holy name, Gauranga. Any comments or questions? To come up.
Thank you for the nice presentation, Prabhu, especially reading from Navadvipa Dhammahatmya. It's quite nice. One question. You said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give freely to one and all. And we hear this in the CC. And so my question is on the doubting side, we hear this, but then practically we don't necessarily see it. So why is that? Or what's going on? We hear that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu garlanded the world with this prema, but we don't necessarily see the result. Maybe you could expound, or I'd like to hear your realizations in this regard.
In one sense, we're ruled by this the limitation of this linear time. We think this is in the frame of, from the perspective of the universal reality or space, this life of ours is like this tiny little thing, So we tend to think that it's all and all, and I want to see things now immediately. But it may not. It may. It may. You know. What we're living right now is the dawn of this golden age that Lord Chaitanya is, you know, explaining. So it's the beginning. It's a little window, though, from the perspective of the size of Kali Yuga. It's 10,000 years, right? Within 432,000 years in Kali Yuga. There's a little window that you can take full advantage, because it's going to be great facility. So what you're seeing of this 10,000, a little more than 500 has already passed. And so within this 10,000 is going to be this great facility. We're just seeing right now that we're being somehow or other part of the when the people went, the pilgrims went to the west, they were calling the, what's the name that the in the beginning of this country, the pioneers. We're being engaged as pioneers. We're building the basis of this 10,000 years of golden age. Obviously, we may not see, most likely we won't see this in our lifetime, but we're going to be part of history. Those of us, you know, that somehow or other takes responsibility on this historical event, we're going to be sort of part of the history. Some of us that are, you know, less capable, will still be part of the history as the pilgrims. We may not be, you know, there may be a name in history, but we're part of this. So, and then after that, the mercy is still there. It's Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Is so anyone who takes shelter of Lord Chaitanya, you know, the devotees after 10,000 years have to live underground, and things are going to be pretty bad, you know, in terms of, you know, the circumstances of life. But we learn that those who take shelter of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan mission, anyone who takes shelter of Krishna can navigate all the miseries, you know, it doesn't matter if it's hell or heaven or things like that, they remain always equipoise. They remain always situated in happiness and satisfaction. So even in this, the narrations of the Bhagavatam of the end, the later times of Kali Yuga, in which, you know, there's all these whatever tiny monsters, you know, sort of like eating each other, and there's no resources, the earth is parched, no food, hardly anything. The devotees will still be there. And until Lord Kalki comes. But the point is that the mercy is already there. The transformation is already there. And the examples of that transformation is already there. We see, you know, we just basically fresh of having one of the intimate associates of Lord Gauranga, his Senapati Bhakta. He was just with us. And we still have this close connection with this intimate associate that is, you know, that he brings this Krishna Prema Pradayate, or this, what is it? Namaste Saraswati Dev Gauravani Pracharine Srila Prabhupada. So we worship him every day. We have this intimate relationship with Srila Prabhupada. So the mercy is there, and we actually see it. We see the transformation that he have in ourself. It's very difficult to be objective when you when it's about your own self like that. You know, sometimes we have these moments of introspection, and we look back and we see, oh my God, I have changed. There's a lot of change that happens. Sometimes we ask the question, where I will be if somehow or other I didn't receive the mercy from a devotee? I mean, it's inconceivable. And we see the transformation in so many. The world has been transformed. There is no doubt that the world now is opening towards looking for an alternative. And that's the world of the Sankirtan mission of Srila Prabhupada. No one else have that achievement. So you see the world that, you know, things have been transformed. The demons are, you know, doing their Kali Yuga thing. They're going fast, going down, but the world, you know, there's something that is, you know, that remains very strongly, like a strong position that is shining. And that's the Sankirtan mission. We just don't have the, you know, we're still so caught into our own purification that we just don't see things properly. But it's definitely happening. Yes.
That was a very beautiful answer, especially your the way you brought in Srila Prabhupada and allowing us to feel that very close connection to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even in our contemporary times. So also thinking of something that I heard recently from Solina Sachinandan Swami when we were in Germany, because we were there for Gaur Purnima, and this topic was coming up a lot of what is Mahaprabhu's mercy. And we hear also this idea of, you know, he came to give one and all the love of God. And he had a very interesting perspective that one can also look at it as that the holy names of Krishna, the Sankirtan, the Harinam Sankirtan movement has been infused with this potency so that anyone in any part of the world can actually gain faith in Braj Bhakti and surrender to Krishna. And then he was saying how it's almost irrational how by chanting some words you come out on the other side and all of a sudden you believe in Braj Krishna and you want to go to Vrindavan. Yeah. It's quite mystical,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So he was saying how the holy names were there even before Mahaprabhu. They've been mentioned in the Vedas, but they didn't have that same effect as after Mahaprabhu. And then his contribution was adding that potency to the holy name. And it sounds a little linear. The holy name is always fully potent. It's not that the holy name previously is without potency. That's not what... You know what I mean? You know
yeah,
what I
mean? Yeah.
And then now in this age of Kali, we come from such, I can speak for myself, I mean, such a sinful background, but then by chanting the holy names in the association of devotees, we start to get faith in these really elevated concepts. Now, that's kind of far out, you know? So I like, that was also an interesting, just in addition to some very wonderful answer you gave, that was also kind of, I didn't think about it like that before. I never thought about it like that before. So it was kind of interesting. I don't know if you have any comment on that.
Yeah, well, just, you know, this inconceivable mercy that is there. I mean, we hear from Lord Chaitanya also that one of the aspects that he took from the Sri Sampradaya, Ramanujacharya, is this understanding that by mercy and by works, by your actions, by your choices, You elevate yourself and you receive, you fully receive the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. So the mercy is inconceivable, because you know, how is it possible? I mean, you see such a great personality like Lord Brahma have to, you know, go through all these tribulations. He have to actually perform all these severe austerities to receive these blessings, to become one of the associates of the Lord, like intimate associate like that, and serving from that perspective. And how is it that, you know, any one of us can also be in that, you know, enter into that realm? So it's only Krishna's mercy. But the part that we have to do is just to endeavor in following. And I came to, you know, this is my personal realization that, you know, just by being around, you see, especially as time goes, devotees are leaving. And devotees of all different levels of consciousness, at least externally, are leaving their bodies in glorious way, that actually there's no doubt that they're going back home. And so, you know, and again, there's different devotees of different levels externally. Somehow or other, at the time of death, they're in the right position with the right consciousness and living in a glorious manner. So Prabhupada says this. Sometimes, you know, we hear the thing, but, you know, again, just back to George Prabhu's question, we don't have an objective sort of assessment. We just see that, you know, I'm just a, you know, hopeless case. This thing doesn't go away. You know, I mean, we try, but this false ego and this sense of identification with I am, this doesn't go away. My condition is hard to get rid of. And so, you know, it's a hopeless case, basically, but I keep doing it. You keep doing your service. You keep waking every day and chanting your rounds. You know, you fall down, you stand up, okay, serving the devotees, chanting my round, my service. You know, you keep trying and trying and trying. You're doing. Prabhupada says, you spend your whole life dedicated to this process of Krishna consciousness sincerely, then we're going back to Godhead. So it doesn't necessarily, you know, says that you have, you know, the scriptures tell us that you have to be free from this, you know, you have to be completely pure to qualify to go. But we hear, even I think Krishna makes these promises. I mean, Lord Chaitanya, I think that even if at the time of death you cannot remember Krishna because of your condition, he will force himself into your mind and make you remember. That's how it is. So we have, you know, great examples of being devotees receiving this mercy and being taken back home. So we know what is what we're destined. Is described that, you know, from this we leave this body and then go and become as associate of the Lord. We join one of the Lord's pastimes in this world. You know what is happening in this universe, in this material world. And then we've been trained by a particular associate, and then after that, Bhumi Lila with the Lord and whatever, you know, that's happening, then we go back home to Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka Vrindavan. It's quite amazing. So, it just makes us just pray and appreciate and have faith. We hold on tight regardless of, you know, anything of Srila Prabhupada's movement, Srila Prabhupada's devotees, Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan mission, and do our best sincerely to serve like that. And we're guaranteed to be the recipients of this mercy. All right. Anything else? Yes, bro. Just wait for the mic.
In the purport, Prabhupada explained that demigods, they never touch ground.
The what?
Demigods never touch ground. So can you explain something like that?
No, it seems that we can take it just as it is. They don't touch the ground. I mean, meaning that in one sense, you know, they have this elevated position. So, I mean, that when they come, what do? They float a little bit, they hover, so I'm not sure. Maybe, but that, I'm not sure.
Sin is coming, sometimes Lord Shiva, if you remember in the past times of Krishna, Krishna Lila, that Lord Shiva came, he begged Mother Yashoda Mai that I want to see Krishna, and I can have Krishna, then, you know.
Yeah.
So how will you explain that episode?
For the service of Krishna, you say?
Yeah, he was wanting to see Krishna in his baby form.
Yeah. I think that's the point that is made here, that as a demigod, in his position as a demigod, you know, he doesn't have to touch this place. You know, he's in his swans, you know, flying. You see, every time he comes, you know, to communicate with someone or give his darshan, he's in his swan. You know, he doesn't have to. He could, but he doesn't have to, because he's always in this elevated position. But if Krishna is there in the land, you know, then now he's taking a humble position. He's taking so he goes down like a rod, dandavat. But for the general situation, he doesn't have to do that. If he does it, it's his own choice. Just short, because we should be finished.
Thank you for the class, it was great. Regarding to what Karunanidhi said, it's more like an analogy when we use it normally in our culture and in the Judeo-Christian tradition, that the people that do not touch the ground is because he's saint, has a saintly attitude toward in life, is not touched by material world or the material life, is what I guess probably what Prabhupada meant when he used that term.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily take it fully as an analogy. You know, it's also literally like that.
Okay.
So,
my understanding in this regard is that Lord Brahma, because he's a demigod and he's in the topmost planet of the demigods. The demigods, they don't have gross forms. Everything is subtle. You know, gross. This stula sharira, the gross body. They have a subtle body. And so it also represents the fact that Lord Brahma, he doesn't interact with the gross modes of material nature in a direct way. He interacts with the subtle modes. I remember reading that. And so he's not touching the when he comes to this earthly plane. The only people who can perceive him are those who have the subtle ability. You know, like yogis, they can develop the subtle understanding. And so it represents that, as far as I understand, this point. And I wanted to, in light of that, I wanted to share one small thing that one Vaishnav in our line, he explains this in a very poetic way, this realization of Lord Brahma, that because he's recognizing that I am actually very small, and because he just saw Vrindavan Dham. We hear two verses before, we hear this explanation of Vrindavan Dham and its beauty and its the amazingness of it. And then he saw Krishna and all of this has taken place. And so he voluntarily steps to the ground and pays his obeisances like he has never done before at any time, because he realizes that the entirety of the place that he is in is composed of an energy which is superior to him, because the Lord's Dham is Chit Shakti and he's a Jiva. So he's Tatashta Shakti. So the poetic way that this Vaishnav said is, he said, Lord Brahma realized that actually when I'm here I should be walking on my head. I shouldn't put my feet on this place. I should walk on my head, because this place is made of something that's, even the lowest thing here is higher than me, because it's all Chit Shakti. It's all the Lord's internal potency. So I was reminded of that when this point came up about feet touching the ground.
Yeah, actually also Lord Brahma prays to be a blade of grass in Vrindavan or in Naidan. Grantra Shriman Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Thank you.